Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and almighty God, we come to thee on this thy day, and we bless thee for this new opportunity to worship thee and to adore thee, who is a God like unto thee, so worthy of praise. And it is our desire that on this day thou wouldst have the glory and all the praise. Oh, thou art so good, thou art so kind, thou art so worthy. But the psalmist we would say, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. We thank thee for this time of worship, and the worship that has been offered, we pray it might be accepted in the name of our beloved and risen glorious Saviour. We do thank thee for him. We thank thee upon this day of the week he arose victoriously from the grave, that our faith is not in vain, that he is there in the glory, even taking note of us here in this place, and maybe further have a sense of his presence, a sense of thy presence here, O God, this day. We do bless thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou dost speak to us through thy word. And we will pray this day, as we have heard thy word read already, that thou art through the Holy Spirit continue to minister to our souls. May the Holy Spirit continue to take and apply what we have heard read this day. And we pray also that thou bless the preaching of thy word. Uphold in the pulpit, O Lord, give strength, for without thee we are nothing. O give strength, O Lord, and help in the congregation this day. May thy word find its way into the soul. May the Holy Spirit take, speak to us, O Lord, we pray, and help us to go conforming to thy word, that we would not only be the hearers of thy word, but that we would be the doers as well. Help us, O Lord, as we hear thy word. Help us to go the way of thy commandments. Help us to perfect holiness in thy fear, we pray. O, refill our sins. We're not what we ought to be. O, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us even this day to progress in sanctification through thy word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, we can address thee in a special way, that as we know those words of our Lord, that pattern prayer, our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee we can say those words, knowing thee in that special way, for we are thy children. How blessed we are, when so many in this world do not know thee, so many even in the city of London do not know thee. We thank thee we come to thee this day as one we know. Oh, we bless thee that thou art our God, our covenant God. Thou art our heavenly Father. Thou dost know all our needs. And we thank thee we can cry unto thee who performeth all things for us. We come to thee this day, and we do pray that thou would look on us in the situations we face in life, whether it be days of joy and blessing or days of sorrow. Look on us, we pray. Remember us, guide our feet and our steps. Help us. Be with the congregation here. Thou knowest all about them, and thou knowest all their needs. Go before them, O Lord. May they know that this is the way, walk ye in it. May they have a sense of thy hand upon them as a congregation and as individuals, we pray. Be with thy people this coming week in all that they seek to do for thee in their lives, in their living. Or may they know thy goodness and thy mercy pursuing them. May they know thy hand leading them. For those who are sick, we pray for them, that thou wilt look upon them, and if it please thee, restore them to a measure of health, we pray. For those in trial, may they know that underneath are the everlasting arms, that there is a shepherd to lead and to guide. those who travel has already prayed that thou be with them. Do bless thy people. Do be with all thy people in this vast city of London. Oh, we pray that thou art encouraged and blessed as we look out on countless thousands who do not love thee in this city and in this country. We pray that many would be drawn to the Saviour if it please thee, that the Holy Spirit would convict of sin, but also show the suitableness of Christ. May it even be this day in this great city on thy day, many hearts would be touched by the King. Many would come to bow down before him in humility and in repentance, crying out for mercy. We pray for this nation. Have mercy, O Lord. We have forgotten thee. O, have mercy. Remember the church in this country. O, wilt thou not revive us in the midst of the years? Look favorably upon us. We would echo those words of the psalm, God be merciful and bless us, and cause thy face to shine. We feel the hiding of thy face. O Lord, we would pray for a great shining of thy face upon the church in this nation, that thou would lift her up and strengthen her and bless her, we pray. For the church in other countries, we thank thee for what thou art doing. O, continue to bless, we pray, for our brethren who suffer for the sake of righteousness this day. O, support them, help them. Those who face prison, maybe even face death, for the sake of Christ, may they know that special help this day. So, Lord, we come then to thee. We bring our petitions. We come with our thanksgivings, for thou art so good. Thou hast been so kind to us. New every morning are thy mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. We come with our thanksgiving, and we come to praise thee. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Oh, it is our desire this day, O God, that thou wouldst receive the glory, even from this place here, from thy people. Hear us now. Blessed be thy glorious name, for Christ's sake. Amen. I do count it a great privilege and a joy to be with you here in London this day. I'm very grateful for the introduction to your minister and the congregation in Scotland a number of years ago. Reverend Morris Roberts introduced your minister to me, and I'm very grateful for that. I do bring to you the greetings of the congregation in the New Forest. It's a very different setting. We have horses and donkeys all around the chapel. Where I live, behind me is the hills of the New Forest. Very different situation, but we're thankful for kindred fellowship. We're thankful for the Lord's goodness to us here and for the fellowship here in London. May the Lord continue to bless you in these days. For a few moments this morning, if you would turn with me to that psalm we just read, Psalm 56, and our text is verse 8. Psalm 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? The title for this sermon this morning is this, My Wanderings, My Tears, My Heavenly Father. Dear congregation, all is known unto the Lord. In a gracious and compassionate way, the Lord looks upon you. He looks upon the wanderings of his people, which are in his providence, and he records them. And further, dear congregation, dear brethren, he observes, he records all the tears that flow down from the eyes of his children. He is the all-compassionate Heavenly Father. Dear brethren, he is our loving Heavenly Father. And that's what we see here, particularly in verse 8. And the psalmist here, in view of the tender mercies of his Heavenly Father, of his covenant God, praise. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, David penned this psalm, as we note from the title, when the Philistines took him in Gath. David had resorted there, having fled the land of Israel, but soon found himself in great trouble. In your own time, you can see all of this in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through to verse 15. Now, you note in the title of this psalm, we have this particular word. It's a difficult word to pronounce. Junaf Elem Rekum Rekokim. The title there speaks to us of something that helps us to understand the situation David was in. It literally means, that word, dove of silence among those of distant places or strangers. Dove of silence among those of distant places or strangers. And we see David among strangers, the Philistines, those that were afar off. Now, David recorded for us in 1 Samuel 19, verse 18, fled from the house of Saul. That was because of Saul's intent to slay him. In chapter 21, verses 10 to 15, which has already been mentioned, brings us to the timing of when this psalm was composed. And there we see David fleeing out of the land of Israel because of Saul. In 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, we read, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Bearing that in mind, come with me to verse 1 and 2 of this psalm. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." David had many an enemy. There was Saul, who sought to slay him. And there were those amongst the Philistines who would seek revenge for what David had done to their champion, Goliath. And as we observe, he earnestly pleads for mercy. He pours out his complaint to the Lord. And there's a lesson in itself. When you are in straits or in trouble, earnestly pray to the Lord for mercy. We needed mercy in an initial way. You remember those words, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." But dear brethren, we need mercy in every situation. We need his tender pity, his compassion. "Be merciful unto me." We also observe in this psalm his assured confidence, his hope he had in God and in his word. First of all, verses 3 through to verse 4. Secondly, verse 8. And then thirdly, verse 10 through to verse 11. We also have David's promise that he would praise the Lord again. Just notice verse 10. "In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word." He will praise the Lord in this time of difficulty and after this time of difficulty. Well, let's now come to verse 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" And simply this morning, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, my wanderings. Secondly, my tears. Thirdly, thy bottle. Firstly, my wanderings. "Thou tellest my wanderings." David, because of Saul, had found himself going from place to place. After Saul, he went to Samuel. Then he returned to Jonathan. Then he went to Elimelech, the priest, and Nob. And now he finds himself in Gath. He thinks of his wanderings. Like a fugitive disappearing from place, from a certain place, and appearing in another. He was on the run, as it were. He was on the move. He had to keep going and going. Thou tellest my wanderings. The congregation, for some of the Lord's people, they face such a like situation. They have to move from place to place. Like many of the Christians who have left Iraq and more recently Syria. They have moved on and escaped for their lives. They have sought a place of refuge. There has been the wanderings for them. The congregation, many in this world of our dear brethren, can identify particularly with David, having to move on because of some difficulty. Now consider these wanderings were days of affliction for David. As he wandered, he would know much affliction. Now the Lord's people face many a day of trial, wherein they may be restless and their minds are on the move. You may not be going from place to place in a literal way, but in your mind you may be restless in days of affliction. In Job 14 and verse 4, Job describes his restlessness. Now these are very interesting words, and we may be able to identify ourselves with Job. Job 7 verse 4, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. He wasn't literally wandering from place to place, but he was in his mind. There was restlessness. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? Dear brethren, there are wanderings through days of affliction. We wander through vales of trial. Now, as we think of David's wanderings, consider in this life the journeys we make. All of us make journeys, some short, some long. We go down certain paths. We come to certain junctions. We take little steps and we take big steps. We make our journeys in this world. And then consider further, we are sojourners in this world. We're here just for a few days compared to eternity. Think of the vastness of eternity. And that world to come, how short are our days. They are few. We're just sojourning here below, just for a while. You who love the Lord, what are we? We're strangers, are we not? In Hebrews 11 and verse 13 we read, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's our testimony, isn't it? We're strangers, we're pilgrims. We're not of the world, are we? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Where's our home? It's in glory, isn't it? And in that world to come, when heaven and earth will be one. We're strangers, we're pilgrims. This world is like a wilderness. Those of you who love the Lord, you know in the light of God's word, but also as you look around and further you have learned by experience that this world is not heaven. It's not home, is it? I was thinking a little earlier of the last sermon I'm going to preach in the chapel in the New Forest this year. And it's that verse, God shall wipe away all tears. There shall neither be sorrow, crying, death, so on and so forth. Here we face sorrow. Here we face, but not them. Oh, dear brethren, we have learned by experience that this world is not heaven. There is many a trial. I don't know your situation. It's lovely to meet you, but I don't know your situation. You may be going through some journey, a wandering experience. And you're looking forward to that time when sorrows will be no more. Now David says here, thou tellest my wanderings. Thou tell us. And here we're given an insight that the Lord knows. Thou tell us my wanderings. Now the word tell us can be translated from the Hebrew as to mark as a tally, to number, to record, to declare, to show forth. He numbers, for it is all known to him. It is recorded. Thou tell us my wanderings, all your wanderings, all your paths are known to the Lord. David knew it in his heart. And here he is praying, thou tell us my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottom. He knows all your steps. He knows the paths you're going down. He knows the trials that you face. Now, is this not, dear brethren, a comfort to us that he knows? In Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, in that speech or sermon which Moses gave, rehearsing the journey of the children of Israel towards the promised land in the 40th year, we read this, Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. I have that text above my study table. He knoweth. He knows. What do we read here? Thou tellest my wanderings. Every step, dear brethren, is so true. He sees and he knows. He knows every step you are taking in your present affliction. All is known to him. Consider a father or mother. They may watch with tender compassion their little child as they take the first few steps. The parent watches. The little child may stumble and the parent comes and helps them along. Our Heavenly Father, with affection, watches on his children. If you're without Christ, mark this well. He knows all your steps. Proverbs 5, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. He ponders, that word speaks of to weigh. He weighs all his goings. Not only does he see, not only does he know, but he weighs. He weighs what that man, that woman is doing. All man's goings are weighed. The paths, the tracks he goes down, the steps he takes. Charles Bridge wrote, he ponders them as a just judge. Not one is hid from his piercing eye. He knows all your ways, your sins, your wanderings away from divine law. If you're without Christ, anyone here, he knows it all. Oh, turn to Christ. Believe in him and repent of your sins. He knows. His understanding is so great, it is infinite. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but thou, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows. If you're without Christ, I beseech you, I beg you, to consider this and turn to him, ere it be too late. Dear brethren, take comfort that he knows it all. He records. Thou tellest my wanderings. He knows, dear brethren, that difficulty you are facing, the steps you are taking, the path you go down. He knows. Recognize, dear brethren, that God knows it all. you may not understand, but trust him who works all things for your very good. Secondly, this morning, my tears. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. My tears. He thinks here of his sorrows and afflictions that had caused so many tears to flow. He'd been going from place to place. He was facing great sorrow, and he would weep. He would shed many a tear. Now, as we know, there can be tears of joy. Maybe a little one's born. What joy that can bring. And one can be found shedding a tear because of joy within their heart. Somebody's come home from the other side of the world and you haven't seen them for a while. Such joy in your heart and you shed a tear. But not here. It's tears of sorrow. Thou knowest, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. David knew great sorrow in his heart as he fled from Saul, as he went from place to place, as he found himself amongst strangers. He knew what it was to weep. He felt inward pain. However, he looked up to the Lord in his sorrow and placed his confidence in him. Note these words, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Dear congregation, dear brethren, it is not unusual for the tears to flow. The believer faces many a trial. There's many a cross. There is a cross to bear. You're reminded of those words of our Lord, which if you intendeth to build a tower, doth not sit down first and count the cost. There's a cost. We came to faith in Jesus Christ knowing that there was a cross to bear and a cost. There is a cost. There is pain. There is sorrow. And you may weep in affliction. David faced unkind and malicious words. Plots were schemed against him. Notice verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high. In verse 5 and 6, every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Oh, what malice they had in their hearts towards David. Daily they were seeking to swallow him up. Such words were spoken against him. If you consider the next psalm, the 57th psalm, we believed it was penned on a subsequent occasion when David was in the cave of Adullam. Notice verse 4 of Psalm 57. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. The believer will hear unkind words and suffer hurt because of wicked acts. How many believers in certain parts of the world today will be found weeping in their homes because of having to move on, escape for their lives? How many of the Lord's people, our dear brethren, will be found weeping in prison? Well, we have our freedom here in this country. How many of our brothers and sisters will be found weeping in prison? Believers will suffer. There will be tears that flow down the cheeks in following Christ. You remember those words in Acts 14, verse 22? We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The believer will suffer. Some believers so suffer in this world, but all believers will suffer to some degree. And you who love the Christ, you who love Christ, you will know what it is to shed tears in affliction. Let's consider this in a more general way. Some hardship comes. like waves crashing down upon you. Difficulties amongst others. It may be in the workplace this coming week. Somebody's unkind. Maybe somebody in the family, the community, speaks against you. Somebody's ill, a loved one. Somebody dies, and the tears flow. How many tears flow when a parent loses a little child? The tears flow. The sorrow hits the heart. The heart is agitated. The emotions well up. And now the eyes redden and the tears begin to flow. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Often there can be a flood of tears. Maybe just sometimes the tear is shed, but then a great flood of tears. There's affliction. There's great sorrow. And there's tears. Put thou my tears. Now notice this here. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? Put thou my tears. Those tears that were shed that came from mine own eyes. There are times when there is open grief. And certain ones are found crying. But consider for a moment David on his own weeping. And is it not true that we often shed most of our tears when we're on our own before the Lord? My tears. No one else is looking on. No one else knows what you're doing. You're shedding tears. You're pouring out your heart to the Lord. Psalm 6 verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. See there the psalmist on his own. He's upon his bed and he's not sleeping. He's weeping. We know that what that's like, don't we? On our own, shedding tears before the Lord. No one else is watching, but your tears are seen by the Lord. Now as we think of these tears flowing here in this affliction for David, he knew tears because of sorrow. But he also would know tears in his life because of his own sin, in an initial way and in subsequent occasions. Psalm 38 verse 17, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Let me ask you, have you shed tears over your sin? When was the last time you shed tears over your sin? You really felt your sin and you mourned. A certain lady came in where our Lord was sitting, recorded for us in Luke 7 verses 37 to verse 36. And there she was weeping. She began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. There she was, she had come in, she had been known as a notorious sinner. She's weeping at the feet of Jesus, firstly, because of our own sin. In true repentance, there is no crocodile tears. You know what crocodile tears are? The crocodile puts on the appearance of shedding tears, but it's not true. In true repentance, there is no crocodile tears. No one truly mourns over sin. There is grief over their sin. But they also look to the Lord for mercy, just like that woman did who came in where our Lord was sitting. Tears shed in repentance. There she was weeping at the feet of Jesus. She felt her sin. But I suggest there was another reason why she was weeping. And that was because of love in our heart to Jesus. Oh, has your heart been moved? Do you know what it is recently to weep in love to Jesus? Sometimes the believer may know great joy in their heart when they think of Jesus and they shed a tear. At other times there can be a great flood of tears in their eyes. Do Do you know what it is I say? Of having tears flowing down your eyes in love to Jesus. What a Saviour who came, who suffered and died in our place. The flowing of tears in view of Jesus. Let's consider again David's tears. He faced much sorrow, much inward pain, and he grieves. He's crying. But you notice what he does when he's weeping. He looks up to God. And dear brethren, there's a lesson. When you're in sorrow and when you're shedding tears, maybe a flood of tears, look up to the Lord who cares for your soul. What does he say? Put thou my tears into thy bottom. Well, let's consider thirdly and finally this morning. Thy bottom. These are lovely words. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You think here of a bottle. Anciently, they were made out of the skin of some animal. Liquid could be stored therein. Well, what does David say? Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Liquid was preserved, kept, remembered. And David is praying here that his tears would be remembered, his tears would be preserved. If you are a believer like David, the Lord knows, and he remembers your sorrows. They are not unknown. They are not forgiven, not forgotten rather. They are not forgotten. Like liquid is preserved, so are your tears. He remembers, he knows, and therefore in a gracious and compassionate way, he will come to your aid. Now David requests, put thou my tears into thy bottom. Put thou, remember, store them, come to mine aid. Now note these words, put thou my tears into thy bottom. Does it not speak of care? Of a tender care, the putting of tears into the bottle. Tears, they're so delicate, aren't they? And here David is praying that the Lord, in a tender way, such a caring way, would remember his sorrows and afflictions, take note of the tears that he had shed. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Such tender care here. Down in Devon years ago, due to the milder climate and thus the early spring, market gardening was in abundance, and as a result, daffodils were picked, and sent to London. Now, after being picked, they were taken to the shed, and with such care and precision, they were arranged and packed into boxes. Tender care. Those ladies took their time. But the Lord, with such care, remembers your tears. He preserves them. He looks on. He has an eye of compassion. He considers you in your trial. Spurgeon giving hints to the village preacher, and I'm a village preacher. He says this, tender mercies, putting tears into a bottle. For the Lord, in a caring and a compassionate way, stores, he remembers your sorrows. And he will come to your aid. He will deliver. It's all recorded, isn't it not? Are they not in thy book? He will not forget. And in his good time, he will deliver. In the meanwhile, he will support you by his grace. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. They're crying. The Lord hears. He's put their tears into his bottle, and he's come to their aid. In conclusion, let's consider the end of crying for the believer. There are no tears in heaven. There is no place for them. For one will be perfect, and one will never suffer one moment of sorrow. And consider that world to come, heaven and earth will be one. There will be no tears. Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They'll be passed away. For the day when we see Jesus, we will never weep again in affliction. What joy, what comfort will be known for the Lord's people. But remember this, on your way to glory, he looks on, he remembers, he will come to your aid, he will help you in affliction. Dear congregation, dear brethren, note the example of David. In your afflictions you face, the afflictions that come between now and glory, make this your prayer. Put thou my tears into thy bottom. Dear brethren, it can be a great help to cry on somebody's shoulder in the congregation. You can be assistance to others. But what a blessing to weep before our Heavenly Father, to pour out your heart to one that so cares for your soul, one that has such compassion upon you. Dear brethren, in your wanderings, in your trials, go quickly to your Heavenly Father. Cast your burden upon him. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.